Pound Island.
We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney, or Shitney.
Let's go inside.
Hans Island Podcast number 21 is brought to you this week by the letter H for hydrogen and holisticism. Mostly because hydrogen is pretty damn cool, but also because holisticism takes most Scrabble players completely by surprise and off guard. Before we get down to the business and lose everyone within earshot of this podcast in an ill-advised frenzy of hostile environmental moaning and bitching, I should probably mention that I have been catching up on Red Dwarf. You know, that classic 80s and brilliant English spoof sci-fi TV series kind of thing. And I will be making two specific quotes somewhere within this podcast. The first quote is Brown Alert, which apparently is a step up from Red Alert. It's more visual than Red Alert and can actually be experienced strongly in an intimate environment. Well done, Cat, for coming up with that one. The second quote will be from Arnold Judas Rimmer when describing a fellow crew member. The quote is, "You're a cancerous polyp on the anus of humanity." I don't quite think that any explanation would further the understanding of that particular quote, but it'll be interesting to see where I get that quote inserted. Watch this space. So, anyway, onwards with the show here in the very last hours of February 2006. We've got a lot of stuff to get through this week, and now is not the time to pause your iPod, or Winamp, or whatever you're listening in on. It's actually time for something pre-recorded and slightly rehearsed, but nonetheless very important in a Hans Island kind of way.
Award for the most stupid piece of blatant consumerism gadget crap.
This week's Hans Island Blatant Piece of Consumerism Crap Award goes to battery-driven razor blades. As if throwaway razors weren't bad enough, some bright spark has dreamt up some weird notion that we need to have a battery-operated vibrating magnet thing that makes our facial hair stand on end. I suppose the inventor of the razor blade, Mr. Gillette himself, must be kicking himself in his grave saying, "Oh, I wish I had thought of that. That's the answer to everything." The background, however, is probably that some acne-prone 23-year-old fresh out of branding and brainwashing college had to come up with a marketing idea to make one brand of throwaway razor blades better than the other one. The conversation probably went something like this. We put three blades on ours, and then the competition put three on theirs. It's a bit crap putting four on ours, because A, that'll look stupid, and B, the competition will just put four on theirs. I know, what about if we stuck a battery on ours? A battery? What the hell for? Well, just to be better than the others. Great idea! Boys, sod the fact that we're just going to engineer 5 million AA batteries being chucked in the bin every year for no readily apparent reason, other than some marketing gimmick. What would have been cooler would have been to make a razor that actually worked with a single blade that could possibly be resharpened and reused. Anyways, gimmicky batteries to somehow make shaving with a throwaway razor blade better can get knotted. People who invented them and marketed them with no respect for the planet can sod off. Utterly useless consumerism crap. A bit hostile and non-productive as that award actually was, that particular one, there is in fact a point with it. The award, that is. Right. It leads us on to me talking briefly about something I found myself surfing the net about a couple of years ago. Now, instead of trying to work out how to stop Google from embedding historic search terms inside my browser software so I could surf dodgy stuff without getting caught, I actually surfed the net for weird science and, well, generally weird things. One of these weird things was pyramids. In actual fact, I ended up making cardboard pyramids to put apples under on my desk in the office and aligning them with a compass. The pyramids, that is. You know, to extend the shelf life of soft fruit. Am I losing you, dear audience? Brown alert! Brown alert! It's okay. I just had to insert that somewhere, and I thought that just before me apologising for possibly talking shite was as good a place as any. Anyway, where was I? Ah, yes. At the Central Czechoslovakian Patent Office, a few years after the end of World War II, that's where I was. How did I make that monumental leap, you might ask? Well, good question. In 1949, you see, a patent, or patent, or... Oh, sorry, patent, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm Danish, how would I know? Anyway, patent was filed in the Czech, or was filed in the Czech Republic for a device that could actually sharpen razor blades without cutting off any limbs by accident, and indeed without the use of power. Now, the device was in fact a pyramid. The well-known and proven fact is that if you make a pyramid out of literally any material, cardboard, zebra skin, rhinoceros bone, Klingon warrior hair, a frozen pizza, anything really, and align it so one of the four flat surfaces points due north. Exactly, so you need to align it with a compass, obviously, yeah? Anything within the confines of the pyramid will be affected. Now, the pyramid parameters obviously have to be the same as the angles on the Giza pyramid, etc. But it's a long, boring story. Anyway, anything that's inside the pyramid will be affected in some way. And soft fruit will resist going wrinkly and retain its moisture. A glass of water will lose any hardness and it will get this sweet taste, etc. And razor blades will be sharpened. So you put a razor blade under this pyramid made of literally anything and you align it correctly and it's got the correct geometry, it will sharpen. Pretty amazing, yet quite logical if you think about it. Well, this is the weird thing. How the hell did the patent filer actually find out? Weird. Maybe a wee bit more on weird pyramids in a minute. In the meantime, I've put the link to this up on www.freewebs.com/Hans Island.
Hans Island. The podcast where only knowing half the facts is no excuse for not voicing your opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Exactly, yeah. That sounds good, doesn't it? Anyway, it's been a busy week as usual, and I am, as usual, also struggling to get all the material done and recorded and edited and somehow stitched together in a nice MP3 file in the nick of time. Thanks to my beloved friends and fellow podcasters in Australia, or the Land of Plenty, as I've heard it referred to in a song once in the mid-80s, Is that the Land of Plenty, is that a reference to the amount of flies or the enormous expanse of space down there, I wonder? I will no doubt learn in due course. Anyways, thanks especially to Dave from Ratbag Radio for sending in a greeting from Down Under in recognition of the 20th Hans Island podcast anniversary last week, which was more like me with a glass of fruit juice jumping in my chair and saying, whoopee! Than a celebration, and not actually a groovy nudist beach party with organic vegetable juice and sun-baked enviro groupies dancing provocatively to oil drum and didgeridoo music whilst... Right, okay, right, now, I'm off on a tangent there, off in Noddy Land, daydreaming again. Where was I? Ah, yes. Thanks to Dave Riley from Ratbag Radio for sending in this greeting all the way from Oz to Scotland, my adopted homeland. I can feel the breeze under me kilt.
From within the shadow of the Golden Circle Cannery, in beautiful downtown Northgate, it's the blather saying, "Heidi hi, there to Scotland, there to bloody, bloody, bunny Scotland, from beautiful downtown Northgate in suburban Australia. And we love our Hans Island and we can't get enough of the wee place. And we'd like a bit more if we could manage it. So keep up the good work there in Hans Island so that we in Australia can embrace the Hans Island way, with the Hans Island bits and pieces, and become more Hans Island than you can poke a stick at. So cheery up, lad. Give me more, so we can look on our grand vistas and say, Hans Island, there's a podcast for you."
Thanks again there, Dave. And what a nice little ditty in the background as well. That'll send a tear down the cheek of many a Scottish osprey. Oh, hang on. They all got shot last century by a load of toffs from England, didn't they? Right, seriously drifting off subject again into conservationism. So, yes, enviro groupies. Sounds fab, eh? That glamorous lifestyle of an environmental activist lying about on beaches, sipping pina colada.
Top tips for helping the planet.
Hans Island Top Tip of the Week, a look at things that can be done by everyone, and indeed if everyone on the planet did this one little thing, the whole world would be a nicer place to live. See these custom-made adventure days you can buy, yeah? For people totally lacking basic imagination. You know, let a marketing department tell you what will thrill you and switch off your humanity for good. Well, this week's top tip comes in two parts. A two-pronged approach, if you like. Here comes prong one. You locate a woman who you know is going out with a good-looking but personality-lacking dimwit. You know, someone with the latest shoes, latest car, latest phone, latest cologne, latest gadget. But who probably thinks prime mate is another word for best pal. Anyways, locate this woman and by way of dropping subtle but persuasive hints to the effect that real men rescue whales, scale walls of nuclear plants, etc., and the lack in girth of her boyfriend's member is probably down to his jeans being made by 8-year-olds in Indonesia, as opposed to real men who wear stuff that is made by homespun organic lima wool, etc. And that the way to change your man is to introduce him to the likes of origami and papier-mâché making using recycled materials. Now, that way, you might prevent her from buying him an uninspired day out driving a Sherman tank through virgin forests as a birthday surprise type thing. Right, on to prong two. You locate your male victim, who will no doubt be wearing sunglasses indoors and smell of hair gel, be slightly unattractive and overweight, and will very likely have difficulties with elevators, spelling, and various other basic skills. Anyways, he's the kind of prat that will gladly burn 500 litres of kerosene off in 1 hour for a helicopter lesson that his unimaginative girlfriend bought him. Right, so back to the prong thing, yeah? Follow this man around throughout the day until he finally has to go to a public toilet. Follow him in and discreetly wait until he's been in a cubicle for about 90 seconds or so. Now you put on a black balaclava, smash down the door with a nail-studded cricket bat, and then shout the words, "I'm the friggin' carbon tax man! Go jet skiing again on the reef and I'll friggin' pulverize you, you lardy twat!" And then run off, of course cleverly taking the cricket bat and headgear with you so they can be recycled in an environmentally friendly manner, or even reused again by another friend of humanity, no doubt also a Hans Island podcast listener. If everyone followed these two simple steps at least once in their lifetime, we might make the world a better place. I'm of course not saying that the world would be better without California as a whole, maybe just hinting at Arnold's roots in the Neander Valley. By far and away the most elaborate yet still immature top tip, but very relevant. Now, filling a field with 5 kilograms of pure lead of an afternoon shooting clay pigeons doesn't sound like the most sensible practice now, does it? Nor does a day at a racetrack burning fuel in a Formula One car. I don't know. What do you think, computer?
Masturbation is not a social activity. However, people who pay to drive tanks might as well.
Yes, exactly. This week I have managed to create a small amount of Jesper Rasmussen airtime. Amazing. I don't quite know how I managed it, but it's there, it's here, I've done it. So let's immediately travel into the land of Danish misinformedness.
Jesper Rasmussen, anti-globalization fuckwit.
This is Jesper Rasmussen. I have been trying to use the very powerful protest tool of voting with my feet. I misunderstood this concept at first, but now I think I understand it. It's quite tricky. I think you basically don't buy or do things that are not anti-global. Like, if everyone didn't buy Timberland shoes, then Timberland wouldn't make them, and then people in Indonesia would not have any work to do. No, hang on. It's got something to do with feet anyway. I have been busy not voting on the American Idol website. It's not making much difference. Computers are very difficult to understand. I have been working on a very serious internet project and have...
Fuck right off. It's Canadian.
J'espère que c'est ça.
No, I will not be your cyber bitch. Get a friggin' life.
Whales are so tasty. Even my dog loves
Jesper Rasmussen.
Your dick is smaller than average.
Jesper Rasmussen.
This is the administrator. Please stop making our female voice say obscene things and then taping them.
Wait a minute. How do I stop my podcast from listening to this?
Jesper Rasmussen. Anti-globalization fuckhead.
Thank you. Jesper Rasmussen is a complete airhead, but no doubt we'll be hearing more from him, and hopefully he'll be catching on to some relevant stuff and maybe even getting the right end of the stick for a change. So, yeah, thanks for that. Maybe it's time now that I did my last little insert thing. What the hell was it? It was something to do with Arnold Judas Rimmer. Ah, yes, Jesper, you're a cancerous polyp on the anus of humanity. There you go. For getting the stuff wrong, but at least you're trying, so I suppose that's a bit of a harsh statement to come out on your behalf. So yes, pyramids. I can remember back in podcast 5 or possibly 6, or maybe it was 4, I can't remember. Anyway, I was going on about Tesla coils, because Tesla coils are just fantastic. And that was the first time I caught on to the whole pyramid thing, when that couple, they put a little copper model of a pyramid up on top of a Tesla coil, and all of a sudden these random sparks that came out the top, they kind of formed themselves into a double helix, and it was all very exciting and very X-file-y kind of thing. So yes, that was that. It's really interesting stuff, and maybe I should be getting into a bit more of this fringe science geeky stuff. Give me some feedback in the guest book whether that's something that I should explore a bit more in these podcasts, because I enjoy it. I definitely enjoyed all that stuff, especially around Tesla, etc. And I'm a member of all these forums that do fringe science-y kind of stuff, and I suppose that's how the slant only knowing half the story started off in the first place. Anyway, I've been doing these podcasts in a rather large format, so like 1 megabyte per minute kind of idea, and now it seems to have halved, because I've gone down to 48 kilohertz, so I don't know, is that good for everybody? I mean, the download speed's obviously quicker. Give me some feedback on handsisland@lycos.co.uk, or possibly even www.freewebs.com/handsisland. What a mouthful. Right, so I think that's us coming to the end of this podcast number 21. We've been through pyramids, and we've had a good bitch about battery-driven razor blades. The links to Gillette are up on the website. And we've also spoken about adventure trip days for unimaginative people. So yes, that's been rather a good podcast. And give us some feedback, and thanks for everybody who has written in and suggested stuff. Maybe someone could suggest 10 quickfire round questions. That could be quite good, and I can find somebody to take through that. So anyway, bis dann and bis später and tschüss, ciao, arrivederci, if that was the right word, and sayonara.
Here are the credits after this Handsisland podcast.
Thanks everyone for contributing. That includes Calpomat. Visit us at www.freewebs.com/handsisland. Alternative email at handsisland@lycos.co.uk. My name's Robert, no pun intended, and thanks for contributing. This has all been fictional, and no harm has been intended to anyone. Thank you, bye-bye.